This is DreamWords. Tom Corvin by Paul Story.
Chapter 13. When Tom awoke, the dim light of day dulled the room, the fire a cold pile of grey ash that matched the sky beyond the window. The storm continued to shake the cottage. To the boy, it had raged unabated for most of his existence. He was stiff, his neck pushed up against the sofa's armrest, the cushion on the floor, his legs curled to his chest. Katriana was gone. He slowly stretched to full length and listened. Her voice feathered through the walls as she talked to her uncle in the next room. There was no rumbling answer. He was warm under the blanket, and the damp air on his face caused him to huddle deeper beneath its cover. He thought about his situation. Despite his ordeal, he was physically well. His ankle, his shoulder, his aching head had all recovered. He was hungry again, but it was a healthy hunger, his body craving fuel for a life worth living. He knew his name, and felt a passionate longing to know more. He looked to the door and recalled the ghost as though she had appeared at his bidding. This was a talent he began to recognize as a gift or a curse. His short-term memory and his imagination formed a cinematic Picasso. Tantalizing, disturbing, confused. Once again he was able to alter the view he had of her. Arms outstretched, inviting an embrace. Laughter lines creased. Tom imagined himself enfolded by those arms and enjoyed the simple pleasure of the thought, a brief escape from isolation. In the logic of daylight, he noted that the sense of familiarity he felt earlier was still there. So too was the yearning to recover something elusive. Its name. This elusive concept was beyond his grasp, but somehow recognized by him is more precious than all his other memories combined. He should have been desperate to leave Craigan Cottage, but he wasn't. True, his hosts were acting strange. There was something beyond the story they'd fed him about an uncle and niece getting away from it all. On the other hand, he was responsible for the man's injury. Despite his initial reaction, Tom firmly believed that the giant had actually saved him. His reverie ended when Katriana entered the room with yet another hot drink. Trapped by the storm and fighting the constant dampness, hot liquid punctuated their hours like those of suckling infants to the comfort of their mother's milk. "How are you?" she asked, passing him the mug. She flopped into the big armchair and Tom swung his feet around and sat, yoga style, with a blanket still covering him and facing her. "I feel fine," he said. "Your uncle?" Her expression darkened. "I don't know. He says he's okay, but that means nothing." "He needs to see a doctor." "And so do you," she replied. "You mentioned something about a village." "Lochranza. About 10 miles by boat, or you can go over the mountain. It's shorter, but in this storm, too dangerous." "How long will it last? I hoped it would have blown out by now, but as they say, you don't come here for the weather." Tom scanned the room for a TV. Katriana saw this and answered the question as it formed in his head. "I don't know if we can get a signal, but it doesn't matter, because we've no radio or TV. No forecast." Tom looked at the remains of the fire. "I should relight that." Katriana shook her head. "We don't have enough wood. We'll keep the one going next door as long as we can. If it gets too cold, we can sleep on the floor in there tonight." Tom looked at the pathetic jumble of sticks next to the hearth. Small twigs, broken branches, the odd plank of wood splintered into manageable chunks. One thin piece had the words "Fraserburgh of Fish" stenciled on it in faded blue lettering. "I could get some more. I take it that's driftwood." She nodded her head. "Mostly. The storm will have thrown up a good supply, but we should wait until it dies down. Anyway, unless we get lucky, the wood will be wet for days. Over the next hour, Tom learned that Catriona was originally from Dumfries in the south, but lived in Glasgow for years. Her uncle, for that's what she continued to call him despite stumbling on the word every time she used it, still lived in their hometown. Tom tried to learn what he could about the history of their shelter, but apart from the fact that it was called Creggan Cottage, was on Arran, and that a friend of her uncle owned it, Catriona was as clueless as he was. "Why is it so important?" she asked, once she realised that his persistence was driven by more than curiosity. "It's difficult to explain," he began. He stopped, wondering how to prevent himself sounding madder than he felt. But when he realised that that was impossible, he just came out with it. "I've been here before." Catriona's eyes widened as though in shock. Her reaction was not what he expected. She suddenly seemed frightened of something, and then, as quickly as the expression came, she relaxed and smiled. "That's great, Tom. Perhaps you're local. Lochranza, maybe." Tom shook his head. "I mean here. Creggan Cottage. The ghosts. I can't explain how I know, but they're real. What if..." But Tom interrupted her, certain now what he wanted her to do, determined not to pause in case he lost the courage to ask her. "Will you do something for me?" he asked. "Of course. What?" "This woman, she was terrified of something, warned me to leave." He tried to recall her exact words, but found himself dwelling on the image of the heart-shaped stone instead. Catriona saw him rub the tips of his fingers together as he imagined the glass-like surface sliding over his skin, its cool beauty reflecting the perfect neck his mind placed it upon. "I need to find out who she is. I want to speak to her." The shocked look returned and the girl shook her head as though denying him his own thoughts. "I want you to perform a seance," he said at last. "Now."
DreamWorks.com.